The story that we read from Matthew a moment ago, the event that we read from Matthew a moment ago in the life of Christ, is also recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 7. In Mark, the woman is called a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And the story is the same in both accounts. This mother had a daughter possessed with a devil. She came to Jesus for help and said, "I need you to help. I need your help. I need to help my daughter. I need you to cast the devil out of her." As we read a moment ago, Jesus didn't respond. The disciples came and said, "Master, she's crying after us. Let's just send her away. She's making a bother. She's making a fuss." And again, Jesus didn't say anything. He ignored her. And he said, "Listen, lady," and I'll just put it in my own words, "I'm sorry, you're not a Jew. I wasn't sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't help you. You're not a Jew. It's not right to take the bread that was meant for the children and cast it to the dogs." Now, you might think Jesus was being unkind to this lady, but he was just following the thinking of the day, and because the Jews looked on all Gentiles as dogs. And he said, I can't take what God has intended for his children and give it to somebody that's unclean, that is not a Jew. The Bible says that after he said that, she came and worshiped him. Now, again, it's not part of my message tonight, but here's what I want to tell you. This is the truth. Whether God answers our prayers or not, he is still worthy of our worship. This lady was ignored by Christ. She was called a dog. His disciples wanted to send her away. And yet she came and worshiped Christ. And she said, "Lord, I know I'm not a Jew. I know that you were not sent to help people like me." But then she said something that was amazing to the Savior. She says, "But even the dogs sat under the table, and they get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table." She said, "I'm not asking for the whole loaf. I'm not even asking for a slice. I just want to sit under the table, and I want to be able to catch the crumbs that fall from the table." The word crumb is used in the Bible 3 times. It's used in this story in Matthew. It's used in the same story in Mark. And then it's used in the book of Luke, where Jesus told the story. I think it's a true story. A lot of people think it's a parable. But the story about the rich man and Lazarus. There's a verse in that story that says, "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores," talking about the beggar Lazarus. And so she said, I don't want a chair at the table. I don't want a plate at the table. I just want to sit underneath the table as the dogs do, and be able to lick the crumbs up off the floor that fall to the floor. And here's what Jesus said to this lady. He says, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here was a Gentile woman, a dog to the Jews, that exhibited a great faith that Jesus hardly saw in the Jews. And it was pleasing to him. Now, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read you a story, a true story, of another mother that needed something for her children, for her child. Luke chapter 4, and beginning in verse 13. And he said, and the one that's talking in this story is Elijah. Elisha. And verse 13. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her," Elijah said unto his servant, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." This lady and her husband had set up a room for Elisha, put a bed in that room, a lampstand, and every time he passed by, he stayed with this lady and she cared for him, gave him a place to rest, gave him food to eat. And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi, Elisha's servant, answered, "Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. Elisha had said unto her, "According to the time of life." And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my hurt, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, Elisha, and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." And she went and came unto the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when a man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Go, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, she said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Here was another Gentile woman, another mother. So two Gentile women, one with a daughter, one with a son. Both needed something from God for their children. Both went to God. One went to Jesus himself. One went to the man of God, Elijah. Both got what they wanted for their children. The first lady that we read about wanted the devil to be cast out of her daughter. The second lady that we read about wanted life restored to her son. Jesus cast out the devil. Elijah raised this son from the dead. I can't help but think tonight that there's people here that know somebody that needs something from God. Maybe not in your own life, but in the life of other people that you come in contact with. Maybe moms that you know, or dads that you know, or children that you know, friends, brothers, sisters, they need something for God. And when you go to God and ask for that thing, you're not going on your own behalf, you're going on their behalf. You're going on the behalf of those that you know, those that you love, that need something tonight, that need something tonight from God. And so tonight, I just want to be an encouragement. I want to remind you that we still have a God that hears and answers prayer. It was testified tonight in the testimonies. And so, I mean, I'm glad that we can look back in the Bible, and I'm glad that we can see how God answers prayers in the past, but I'm also glad that we can hear tonight from people's lips how God has answered prayers in their life. God hasn't changed. He said in the book of Malachi, I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus said in Hebrews, or it says about Jesus in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jeremiah 33:3 is still a promise that's in the Bible. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And when you call to God, in most cases, he not only gives you what you ask for, he gives you more than you ask for. There's three things I want to look at the story of these two mothers tonight. Again, both Gentiles, and I just want to point out three things about praying moms. And again, these kind of prayers not only come from the lips of mothers, but they come from the lips of dads. They come from the lips of Christians. And so three things I want to remind you of tonight as we pray and we ask God, again, not so much for ourselves, but as we ask God for the needs of others, as we ask God to work in the life of others. Here's the first one. When all odds are against you, when all hope is gone from a human perspective, just keep praying. Just pray on. When it looks like there's no solution to the problem, when there looks like there's no fix to the situation that you're praying for, again, from a human perspective, just pray on. Here's one mother. She came to Jesus asking for help for her daughter. Jesus ignores her. His disciples try to send her away. Jesus calls her a dog. He says, I can't help you. You're not a Jew. And without Christ, there was no hope for her daughter. Another mother whose son is dead. At that point in history, and you noticed as we read that story from the book of 2 Kings, twice in that story it says, this boy was dead. Now, back in that day, dead was dead. I mean, Jesus hadn't raised the three people that he raised from the dead yet, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus. Peter hasn't raised Dorcas yet. Paul hasn't raised the young man that fell asleep and fell out of the third-story window. Jesus had not raised from the dead yet. All hope was gone for that mother. She saw no hope from a human standpoint, but she says, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to the man of God. I'm going to God himself through the man of God, and I'm going to ask God in this hopeless situation to do something that man cannot do, but that only God can do. Tonight, you may know people that think they're in hopeless situations. You may know people that are in the middle of circumstances that they see no way out of those circumstances. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no ready remedy that's ready to be put into place. There's no answer to the problems that they have. And so tonight, I encourage you, if you know somebody like that, don't give up. Just pray on. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? We have a God that specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. That's the kind of God we have. And so when it looks hopeless, when there's no light at the end of the tunnel, just keep praying. Pray on. Pray on. Number two, grab a hold of God and don't let go. Don't let go. I think it would have been easy for this little girl's mother to get discouraged. It would have been easy for the mother of this little girl to give up. The disciples said, Master, send her away. She's causing a fuss. We don't need this. Jesus ignored her. Jesus called her a dog. And she says, it doesn't matter. You can be upset with me. You can tell me that I'm not a Jew and you weren't sent to help me. Oh, I know that only you can help me, and I am not leaving until you do. The young man's mother said in verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You see, Elijah said to his servant, hey, you go, take my staff, put it on the face of that child. Maybe God will answer our prayers and restore life to that child. And sending the servant and sending the staff wasn't enough for that mother. She grabbed a hold of Elijah's feet and said, hey, I am not leaving. I'm not going to leave you. And it's funny to me because she was using Elijah's own words. You remember when Elijah was about getting ready to go to heaven? He was going to go to heaven in that whirlwind. He was going to see that fiery chariot and those fiery horses and be taken to heaven. And the Lord sent him to a certain place. And Elijah said to Elijah, said, "Hey, you stay here. I've got to go such and such a place." And Elijah says, "I'm not leaving you. If you're going there, I'm going there." Lord sent him to another place. And Elijah said again to Elijah, "Hey, you stay here. I've got to go over here." And Elijah said, "No, I'm not leaving you. Where you're going, I'm not leaving you." And so here was Elijah. He could look into this mother's eyes. He could hear the very words that he said to Elijah just a few days before. And he said, "I might as well go. She's not going to leave. Wasn't enough that I sent my servant. Wasn't enough that I sent my staff. She's not leaving." Jesus tells a couple parables about prayer to make the same point. He said, if you want your prayers answered, just keep praying. Don't give up. Grab hold of me and don't let go. Just tell me you're not going to go. And remember the story told of the lady and the unjust judge? Lady had a case, kept coming to the judge. Judge put her off, put her off, put her off. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back. She was basically saying with her actions, "I'm not leaving till you help me." Remember what the judge said? Judge says, "I'm not going to help her because her case is right. I'm not going to help her because her cause is just. I'm going to help her just to get rid of her. I'm tired of her bothering me all the time. I'm tired of her pestering me all the time. I'm going to answer prayer. I'm going to do what she wants." Now, if an unjust judge can do that, think about what a just God would do. If an unjust judge would say, "I'm tired of somebody pestering me," and Jesus again told that story to say, "Hey, don't give up. Keep praying." When it seems like that heaven is made out of brass and your prayers are not getting through and I'm not answering you, don't give up. Keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. Amen. He says, that's how I want you to pray. Grab hold of God and don't let go. And then number three, just ask for a crumb. Ask for a crumb. The God that we pray to created the world with his word. You ever stop thinking about it? The only thing that God created that he used to make that thing was man. He used the dust of the ground. Everything else he spoke into existence. What a mighty, omnipotent God that we have. He made the firmament. He made the oceans. He made the continents. He made all the grass and the flowers and the trees. He made the birds, the fish, all the animals that roam the earth. We have to say, when we look at that and consider that, like David did in Psalm 8, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Look around the world. Look at everything that God made. Look at the power that was behind that creation. Look at the omnipotence that was behind that creation. Your need, or that person's that you're praying for, their need compared to God's power, it's just a crumb. You don't need all the power that he used to create the world to solve somebody's problem. They need just a crumb. Just a crumb. Your need compared to God's storehouse, or that person that you're praying for, their need compared to what God has stored in heaven, it's just a crumb. Just a crumb. Your need compared to God's omnipotence, or that person that you're praying for, their need compared to God's omnipotence, it's just a crumb. And so we need to say, like these two, like the first lady did, said, "Father, I don't need all the power that you use to create the world. Just a crumb. I don't need the whole loaf. Just a crumb. I don't even need a slice. Just a crumb. I don't even need the heel." You know, you always eat the heel last. You always save the heel till you run out of all the stuff in the middle. Then you eat the heel. But we need to tell God, we don't need the heel. I just want a crumb. Just a crumb. Just a crumb. That's all I need, God. Just a crumb. Many a boy, many a girl, many a man, many a woman, many a grandchild, many a friend, many a parent were saved. Their lives changed because somebody got a hold of God, wouldn't let go, and say, Lord, all they need is a crumb. Can't you give them just a crumb? And by the way, I'm not leaving it. I'm not leaving. I'm not letting go until you give it to them. I read that story of Jacob as he was about to face his brother Esau. And the night before he faced his brother Esau, the Bible says that he wrestled with an angel. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school, sometimes when the Old Testament uses the word angel, it talks about an actual angel, and sometimes it talks about God himself. The lesson that we had this morning, when the angel was talking to Zacharias, it was an angel, but in the story of Jacob, it was God himself. And the Bible says that as they were wrestling through the night, the day was approaching, and the angel, or God himself, said, let me go, for the day cometh. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Not going to let you go till you bless me. Amen. Amen. We need to grab a hold of God, and we need to say the same thing. For those in our life that we love that have a need, for our own selves, if we have a need, we need to grab a hold of God. Say, Lord, I'm not letting go. I'm not going away. I'm going to be like that lady in The Unjust Judge. I'm going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back until you work and meet that need. And God says, okay. Okay. He doesn't say the same thing that the judge says, hey, I'm just going to help him because I want to get rid of him. He loves us. He loves us to keep coming back and coming back and coming back because it shows that we have a faith in God that only he can help. Only he can help. Praying moms, what a good lesson we can learn from them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of these two mothers. Thank you for putting their stories in your word so that we can read them, so that we can learn from them. And I pray that we would learn to pray like they prayed. I pray that we would realize that you are our only help. As Adam saying a moment ago, you're our all in all. You're all that we need. We don't need help from anybody else. Just from you. Just from you. And Father, help us to just grab hold of you. And all we need is a crumb. Just a little bit of your power will solve any problem that we have. Just a crumb. Help us to pray with that kind of faith. Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, you'd help them understand they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid it when he went to Calvary. Because he paid the penalty, he can offer to each person the gift of life. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know what it is to have life in Christ, that they would just come to you, ask you to save them. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.